I want you to move to an earlier time in your life, in your imagination, your mind, a time when you were kind of beat up, you were probably scratched, maybe even bruised a little bit, and you were saying, I'm quit. Not, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. You say, Pastor, you're talking about when I was a baby Christian and I was tired of falling and getting up so much? No. Are you talking, Pastor, about my marriage? No. What are you talking? I want you to go with me in your mind, in your past. Everyone ready to go? When you learned how to ride a bicycle. Wave your hand if you can bring it up in your mind. It's like, okay, let's replay that for a moment. Who, in your mind, who was there? Who was beside you? What was your audience like? Did it kind of feel like the royal wedding yesterday? Everybody watching you? And I want you to feel the anxiety, the tension, the training wheels are off. How cruel. And then you go a little bit and you fall and the training wheels are gone and the handlebars almost hit you in the mouth and your knee is scant and you say, I can't do it. I don't want this. And then somebody says, let me help you. Was it big brother? Was it your cousin? Was it your neighbor next door? Was it your dad? And what did they do? They found just the right incline, and they got behind you, and they began to run beside you. Are you there? Whoever it was, and just when you think, I can't do this, I never, all of a sudden, you feel this mighty push, and inertia took over. And your wobbling knees started going back and forth, and all of a sudden, you go, woo! Wow! And you started on an adventure, and you've never stopped. That push, or that inertia that you felt a few months ago, is the best picture of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. That push where you didn't think you could do it, when you didn't think you could keep in balance, when you were tired of falling and failing and scratching your knee and you were saying, I don't want to do this anymore, I can't. All of a sudden, that push came and it changed everything. About six times in the scripture, the word calls the Holy Spirit the paraclete, or it's a compound word that's para, to be alongside, and kaleo, which means called. The good news about flowing with God and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide your life throughout your journey is that the Holy Spirit, it's not beside you just at the beginning to give you a push and say, hey, you're on your own. But the parakaleo, he is the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the counselor, your lawyer, your advocate, is with you 24/7 every day of your life, running with you side by side to keep you balanced, to give you that push, to have divine inertia. It's called the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to learn how to do less and be more, because we are going to learn to live in the inertia of the Holy Spirit's power that we call a river. Now, I want you to look at Psalms chapter 46. We looked at it last week. And at the very last part of this wonderful chapter, the scripture says, and we don't have it for you, Daniel taught on it last week, be still, shut it down a little bit, be quiet, and know that I am God. How many of you know every once in a while you need a little time to back away and just download the goodness and the greatness of God? Go ahead and give the Lord. Sometimes you just need that, you know. And we missed you last week, but last week we're on vacation, and that's exactly what my family was doing. You would have cracked up looking at our family on vacation. We were sitting there on the beach, and I read five books last week. I read two books on communication, one book on the cross, one book on the impartation of the Holy Spirit, and the history of human thought for the last 2,000 years. And I, if you would have given me a two-week vacation, I would really be a smart guy. And Dale Hadley's right here with this book about a pastor's daughter who got captivated by a creep and then came back to the Lord. And Hadley's over going, oh, this is so good. This is so good. And Gayla's reading a book about dreaming big dreams. And Daly's over there reading a book about political communications. We're sick. And then my 25-year-old daughter says, Daddy, I'm going to give you your dad's day present early. And I said, well, good. What is it? She said, I'm going to pay for you to go to Orange Theory with me for the first time. Well, watch Orange Theory. She said, just come. Folks, don't go. I walked in there, and for an hour, they strapped me up to see if I was about to have a heart attack. I got to orange so quick, I was pushing the red. I walked out there, I said, is she trying to give me a Father's Day present or collect on insurance? I don't know what in the world this girl's doing. But, son, you know, vacation for the Duvals is like boot camp, okay? All right? But we need time to download the last part of Psalms 46. But on the first part, it says something else. It's about the river. And I want you to get it. Read it with me. Go back to the first part. Come on, up there. Read it with me. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present time. Read it bolder. Here we go. Therefore, we will not fear. Catch what the psalmist said. When you're doing your life and the earth is sinking underneath your feet and the mountains are trembling and a tsunami of pressure is about to flow and overtake you, guess what? There is a river coming from the very throne of God. And look what it does. It makes glad the city of God. You're a citizen of heaven, the city of God, if you're a follower of Jesus. We are citizens of two worlds, citizens of whatever country you're from, and you're citizens of heaven. But it says this river makes us glad in the midst of the tsunami. This river makes us glad and can handle when the mountains are crumbling before us. Now, when we think of river, what we really want to think of is those things we hear on commercials about going to Europe and having a European river cruise. It's nice and calm and gentle, and that would be wonderful. But you know what I love about the Bible saying that the work of the Holy Spirit running beside you, keeping you in balance, giving you the push when you need it, like the current of a mighty river. He's not only there when things are placid and calm, but he's with you when the river is rough and when life is tough and when the water is white with foam. He is still in the raft right there beside you, saying, stay on course, stay with it. God will never leave you nor forsake you. And through the mounting of these mountains, God is going to get you through to the other side. Here's how you do less and be more, or be more and do less. It's learn to live in the flow of the river of God. Now, we just saw in Psalms where it said coming from the throne of God is a river of presence, a river of the Lord abiding, and we can be in that river. We're going to see some more rivers in Scripture, but here's the first point. If we're going to learn to go in this river of God's presence, the first thing we need to learn, and it's hard to learn, is that we need to understand that trying to do it on our own is not going to work, and we need to avoid the work harder era at it. It's like, oh man, life's coming at me. My Christian life is not what it ought to be. I just need to work harder and harder and harder and harder at being a Christian. And we really never get into just the flow of God's mercy and grace that takes the strain and the guilt and the struggle of it all away. Now, I want to do a little work in Galatians here. Over in Galatians chapter 1, it was very personal for Paul when he wrote this. And I want you to look at this verse. He said, I'm blown away. Hey, friends. Hey, people I've taught and I've prayed with. I'm stunned that so many of you are turning away so quickly from Christ and from the call of God on your life that you received and you're turning to a different gospel. And if you'll really read Galatians chapter 1, boy, Paul is just really strong. He says, I want you to know, if anyone comes preaching another gospel, that you have to earn your way to heaven, that you've got to do religious gymnastics to get to heaven, let them be accursed. And he talks about how he was in the desert and God's revealed the power of God's grace. And if you're striving, how many times in your spiritual journey, young man, have you felt like you did when you were trying to learn how to ride that bicycle? And you fail, and you said, I can't do this. And you scraped your knee, and you say, I'm tired of this. I guess everyone else that serves God is just, they just got it together more than me. This doesn't work for me. I don't guess I'm supposed to be one of these guys. No, you're still in that realm of trying to work harder to make it happen for you. And Paul writes and says, Why are you giving up on the gospel that I told you? Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and totally trust Him to be your sufficiency to cleanse you and to forgive you and pick you up time and time again. Why are you turning your back on that? You're going to wear yourself out trying to rate yourself and get yourself good enough. I want to take you back to the context of when Paul wrote Galatians. It's kind of interesting to me. If you read Acts and you read all the Galatians, you look at the missionary journey, you see what's going on. Paul's going on a missionary journey. He gets a young man that's kind of raised in privilege, John Mark. In fact, his mother had the best house in the whole church. So when they had prayer meetings or home groups, they always went to her house because she's the only one that had a big enough house for everybody. But now Paul's going on a missions trip. And John Mark wants to go with him. So they're out there going, and you know, he's a young man. And the Bible is clear. During this missions trip, Paul really gets sick. You can read the last part of Galatians, and you'll see he was sick. And Paul had to make a strategic decision. This is the best way I can illustrate. Does he, while he's sick, do the most difficult thing first and go up into the mountain region where Galatia was, or stay at the beach where I was last week? John Mark signed up for the beach missions trip. Paul is hurting. He says, no, I got to get the gospel to these people, and I'm going to climb the mountain first and enjoy beach missions trip later. And the young man quit, and I had a big falling out. Later they got, you know. And then Paul's up here, and he gets up there, and he teaches them the cross. And he says, you don't have to earn it. You just need to believe it by faith. And every day you fail, understand that all you have to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry. And you don't have to do anything, but through His grace, He'll pick you up. And you can get in the current of His flow and get up again and again and again and again. And look what he says in Galatians chapter 3, after I gave you that context. He said, I want you to tell me one thing as he's looking back over. I want you guys up on that mountain. Remember, I came up to you when my stomach was tore up. And now you're bailing out because, and it's kind of humorous, and I don't know if I'd say this or not, but if you read the book of Galatians, these people had some legalistic people come up and said, for you to be a Christian, you can't ever fall on your bicycle, and boom, 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 and I... It says it, and It was all about works. And Paul said, while I was there, these people who put pressure on you to earn your salvation spied out our liberty. Talk about circumcision. Talk about awkward. It hadn't dawned on you what I'm saying. The legalistic people sent some spies to Paul and his buddies to see if they'd been circumcised or not. Can you say awkward? You know, it's amazing what's in the Bible if you'll take time just to see what it's saying. So these guys, you know, Paul's going to the bathroom, going to go take a shower, and he's got these guys come checking him out. He goes, would you leave us alone? Because you got to do this, you got to do that. And Paul said, I want to ask you a question. And look at this verse. When you first got saved, and when you came into the joy of the Lord, did you do it? Let's read it. When you learned, did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what was taught to you? And he said this, how, after you started by faith in believing the gospel, think that you can stay in there and finish by retreating from believing and going back to earning it and striving for it. Listen, you can wear yourself out, beating yourself up because you can't keep yourself on the bike all alone. But you don't have to. The grace of God, hallelujah, is available to give you the inertia to go forward. How many times have I seen young men all through my life? I can hear the stories. They just think, well, Danny, you're on fire for the Lord because you've got the God gene. I don't know if there's God genes or not, but I want to tell you, you know, but this is what happened. I want you to look at these two charts because this is where we live. Okay, look at this first chart. It's the struggle. You get in this, I'm going to try harder. And then after you scratch your knee and you fall and you get out of balance, then you move one or two poles. You either get tired or you just feel tremendously guilty all the time because you're not good enough. You have this cocktail of fatigue and guilt stirring. Then you look at other people that are in the zone. They're in the flow, man. They're always on fire for Jesus. You can hardly live with yourself, looking yourself in the mirror. So you just quit, and you just bail out. But the good news of the gospel of Jesus, there is a flow, a river that comes from the throne of God. It is filled with the compounds of grace, grace, grace. And when we look at this next diagram, you have me here or you there and God over there and this great big gap, but in the middle of it is the Holy Spirit ministering the grace of God, and it's the push, hallelujah, to get you through your failures. And then that moves. If you want to do less, be more, you've got to learn the flow. Then you've got to embrace getting in the flow of God's grace. Embrace getting in the flow. Really got to do it. That's the second part of living where God wants you to be. There's this incredible, incredible verse in Ezekiel. We saw one in Psalms, and here's Ezekiel. And I want you to see Atlanta. I want you to see our globe. I want you to see your neighborhood. I want you to see your school. In Ezekiel, I see my apartment complex. There will be large numbers of fish. This may be a little bit of a lean, but Jesus did say, follow me, I want you to become a fisher of men. There will be large amounts of fish in Atlanta. But because of the river, somebody say because of the river, because of the joy that comes to God's people when the mountains are caving in and the earth is giving way and the tsunamis are flowing and you're walking in the joy of the Lord because God's got this, hallelujah, and you're in the flow. Look what happens. The large number of fish because the water there flows. And notice what happens. This is huge. High schoolers, young adults, millennials, listen to this. People who love your nation. The salt water, and you got to know Ezekiel had the Dead Sea in the back of his mind. Everything's dead in that salt water, is there. But this river coming from the mountains is so fresh, so powerful, so clear that there is life that's produced where the salt water hits the fresh water. That's what it says. So where the river flows, everything will live. Catch it. Here's the culture where people are just looking for a reason to exist. They can't even say what their purpose in life is. There are zillions of souls or fish. And then these people that live and the joy of the Lord are the flow of God's grace and the river of God's love and Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit perpetually there, guiding, pushing our lives, directing, giving us legal advice, whispering to us. And the life flow of the river produces a place where people that can't even survive in the salt are rejuvenated and revived. And are you getting the picture? The world doesn't have the answer. The culture doesn't have the answer. The movie celebrities doesn't have the answer. We're the people with the answer. It's the grace of God from the throne of God for people who live in the river of the Holy Spirit. Would you do something right now? Would you just in your own comfort level thank God for the person of the Holy Spirit that is here in a toxic world? Here's my story. I can't get over. You know, when you're just doing this thing moment by moment, you can't see the grand plan of what the river is doing and where the river can take you. When I was a kid, a member of my family said, You're going to be wild. You're going to be drunk in the streets. I remember this echoing in my ear. You can't be a football player and an athlete and cool and not go party. You are going to be drunk. That was prophesied over my life by a family member. And I looked at this person and I said, I will find a different way to live than that. And it wasn't immediately, but there was a summer in my life when I was 15 years of age when a bunch of us kids in a little town of 6,000 people began to long for the river of God upon our life. I've never been the same. I want to tell you what happened. I got caught up in this verse where it says, here's the culture, here's your school, here's your destiny without God, here's the salt, here's death, and here's the river of the Holy Spirit. And I got caught in that interweaving of those two streams. And I want to tell you what happened to me. I never became a teenage drunk. I never threw my life out to illicit sex and drugs. I got caught in the river of the Lord, and all I want to do is live there all my days. You know, when I was there with 15 years of age, we'd gather for our transit, and there wasn't a whole lot of us, 15 or 16 of us. And we would gather, but the river started stirring. We'd sing these Bible verses. A lot of the Bible that I know today came from verses that I learned when I was a teenager. Those old charismatic Psalms 4, 7, and 8. And yesterday that Episcopalian priest was preaching, talking about love. Beloved, let us love one another. For God is love, and everyone that loveth is born of God. And I completed his sentence because we learned that song, Beloved, let us love one another. And the river began to flow. We began to get filled with the Spirit. Kids from all denominations, tired of dead religion, began to come in and began to feel the throne of God's flow upon our lives. And it was so much better than any party going on in the tomato patches of Bradley County, Arkansas. I mean, we had a mirror in the back of the church. where the moms could nurse or take care of their babies and look at the service. Well, during the youth transit night, the power of God was moving. The river was stirring. Parents would come and hide out in the nursery to watch their teenagers worship. We didn't know what would happen. But let me tell you what happened. Out of that group of 15 or 16, what happened to those kids in that river? Well, our intern summer youth pastor, we heard him preach his first sermon, couldn't preach at all, turned out to move to Alabama after he got out of college and simply pioneered and built the largest Assembly of God church in the state of Alabama, Calvary Assembly in Decatur, Alabama. Another guy in the youth group, Jerry Nance, moved to Orlando and then later to Columbus, Georgia, and is now the president and executive director of Global Teen Challenge, where he has had over 1,400 teen challenges all over the world where drug addicts are being set free and liberated by the power of God. He was there, okay? Carolina Carmichael, a Methodist daughter, girl. Her dad was the hospital administrator. She came and got filled with the Holy Spirit. You know what happened to Carolina Carmichael? She became later on the executive TV producer for Billy Graham Television Ministries. Got the guy that's built the largest church. Got the guy in that youth group that is head over Global Teen Challenge. Oops, not over yet. There's a guy named Tommy Massey. He got sold out to Jesus the same day I did. I'm at the altar. I'm here, he's there. He went up the ladder to the very top of the YMCA. And he said, I begin to hear all these consultants teaching how to take the YMCA to another level. And I said, I can do this. And he built a nonprofit consulting firm with about 10 consultants under him. He lives across the street from Central Park. He called me this week and told me he just signed a contract with the San Francisco 49ers to set up an organization for their ex-football players. He said it may go to every team in the NFL. What's going on? I want to tell you, we've got kids that became doctors of Christian counseling, a missionary that's been to the Native Americans out of that group of 15. I feel like I haven't done anything for Jesus compared to the rest of these kids, because can I tell you, when you dive into the river and you run after it, you have no idea where that stream will take you. So let's wind this down. I want to live in the river. I want to bring life to fish that are dying in the salt of their culture. They can hardly breathe. In the gills, they're choking because they don't have life. Look what Ezekiel says after this. In fact, you can read. Here's what life in the river does. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of that river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. I want to promise you something. If you'll dare say, Holy Spirit, I want you to be in me, beside me, all over me. I want to move with your push. If you will do this, the fruit of your life will be extraordinary. It will be extraordinary. Every month, fresh fruit, new clients will come. The water from the very throne room of God will pour through your heart. And even though where you go to work and that campus where you live and have to walk the halls in the fear of somebody going nuts and mowing you down and shooting, you'll walk into those places, and because you've been in the river, you'll come and bring life and faith and hope and confidence. Hallelujah. And your fruit will serve for food, and the leaves for healing. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like Psalms chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3. Look at this one. Blessed is the man who gets in the river. Come on, help me preach a little bit. Blessed is this man who parks his life close enough to the river that his roots can get into the flow of the Spirit of God coming from the throne. Oh, He's not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. He loves to hear the men and women of God talk. He's not sitting in the seat of the scornful and the belittled, the cynical. He's sitting in the seat of, I believe great things are coming for you, sir. I believe this can happen for you, man. He is not sitting in the seat of the scornful, and he's not walking in the way of the ungodly, but he's looking for somebody that's hot after God so he can walk around him. And guess what happens to him? Ezekiel, his leaf doesn't wither. His fruit brings forth ripe, delicious nectar in season. And wherever he goes, that river will cause him to prosper. Probably the best, some of the most enjoyable times I've had here in Atlanta was about 3 weeks ago when Kelvin over here asked me to go golfing with him. I want to highly motivate you to invite me to go golfing with you. I don't know where a golf course is unless you tell me where one is. Kelvin invites me. And so I hadn't played since I've been here. I'm feeling awkward, and I get up on the tee box, and I got lucky, and it wasn't too far back. Second shot, I hit this tree. And my colleague, young man of God, got a beautiful wife, baby daughter. Apparently he's one of these guys that said, I'm going to live where the roots of my life can draw from the Holy Spirit of God. Because when I hit that tree, dead center, he's over here in his golf cart with one of his clients. That ball of mine hits the center of the tree and bounces in the middle of the fairway. And immediately, Kelvin screams out, and you need to listen to this. He says, he's a tither! I go, wow, I think I'll hit a tree again. Every time I hit a tree, he's screaming, he's a tither! Because it bounced back in the fairway, and then he hit a tree or two. I'm a tither! We did more for advancing the gospel of the local church at that golf course by him screaming than any pre-little sermon we ever do. How do you live there? Because he's planted himself by the streams of the flow of God. And when you make up your mind, when I get discouraged, I'm not quitting. I'm not going to let guilt ride me. I'm going to let the grace of God be the current, hallelujah, that keeps me moving on. So how do you close it all up? Well, how do you get in the river? Surrender. You just surrender. The third point is you surrender to the river. Romans 8 says something about your body. About your body. It said if the river gets in you, if you allow the Holy Spirit to minister the grace of forgiveness of Jesus, and you live every day, and when you fall down off your bicycle, you get up and say, thank God I'm getting up, not because I deserve it, but by the grace of God, the current of God's river of grace is available to give me buoyancy, to get me back up where I need to be. Look what it says, when the Spirit of God lives in you, the same Holy Spirit that raised the dead body of Jesus from the grave will quicken your body. I walked by Target, walked into Target this morning before coming to church, and there's a little lady there that I know has need in her life. She wanted to be at church today, but she needs food on her table. And I just stopped there at the self-check, took her by the hand, and I prayed that she would just have the river of God touch her. And I said, I want you to know, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And even though you want to be at church and you can't, you're going to have church all day today, standing right here, because your body is filled with the Holy Spirit. I walked away, No one sheds a tear at church. I'm not here to produce tears. No one's moved in this great, beautiful facility that God's filling up Sunday by Sunday. There's somebody that had church today between aisle 2 and 3 at Target because she was willing right there to surrender. Oh, Lord, my body is your temple. Fill me, Holy Spirit. You see, we can strive and try to go harder and strive more, and we can think it's all up to us. And I'll tell you where we'll get. We'll get to that fatigue graph. Either we'll feel like a failure or so guilty, we quit. So I take you back to when you were learning how to ride the bicycle. And here's where you are right now. You've tried, and you skinned your knee. You've tried, and your elbow is scratched. Your handlebars are crooked now. When you pick up your bike, it's crooked. And you get up, and you're saying, I can't do this. I cannot do this. No, you can't. Neither can I. Neither can anyone, Miss Lily. But there is one that Jesus said, I'm sending to run beside you and get his hand on the back of your seat. And about when you've totally given up on yourself, trust him. Because like the flow of a mighty river, he is going to push you with divine inertia. And when you get there, you will say, Wee! I'm saved not by my works, but by the grace of God. And when you need him, he's still there beside you because you can't go so hard or so far or so fast that the Holy Spirit can't keep up with you. He is always there, hallelujah, to stand right beside you. Stand with me right now, all those at this place, stand with me. Hey, I want you to look at your spiritual needs right now. Thank you for being so receptive to the Word of God. I've hoped that heaven has touched you. We don't do this just to check off. Did Sunday? Did church? No, we come to experience God here. We come to encounter reality. We come to bring fresh water to salt water. But I want you to get honest right now. I want you to just look over your spiritual condition. Scratched up, bruised a little bit, got some, don't you hate it when you're like your skin's hanging? Are you battling that notion, I can't do it, I can't live this like Brother Danny or Brother Scott? Heads bowed, eyes closed, you're here, and you say, Pastor, I need the Holy Spirit to make God's grace real to me. I have felt so fatigued and the verge of quitting spiritually. But today, I know this is my day. It's like this sermon was just for me. And today, I want to humble myself and I want to invite the Holy Spirit to run beside me. If you're here right now and you're beat up and you know you can't be righteous, you can't be a Christian, you can't be a Christ follower on your own, but you want the Holy Spirit to help you and reveal God's grace to you, I'm going to count to 3, and what you're doing, you're saying, I can't live it, but I want God's grace to carry me through. I failed, but I want to be renewed in him. At the count of 3, I want you to humble yourself and raise your hand as a sign of desire for God. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Raise your hand right now. Raise your hand. Praise God. Hands are going up in this place. Well, the Lord had a word for you today. The Lord had a word for you. I want you to do something. I think about my messages, but I didn't think about this. How many of you can raise your hand and remember who was there when you learned how to ride a bike? Raise your hand if anybody, raise your hand. Everybody raise your hand if you can remember who was there. Come on. Come on, somebody. Can you remember Gayla? Your daddy? I bet he was. Hadley, I remember when you learned how to ride a bike. I want you to know the Holy Spirit's with you right now. Every one of you that's raised your hand, I want you to pray this prayer. Everybody pray it with me so everyone feels comfortable out loud. Father, in Jesus' name, I started by believing, and I will never finish by bringing it on myself. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross to forgive me of all my sin. Cleanse me. Forgive me. I want to be in the river of God's grace. Give me confidence that what flows from the throne will take me to where I really need to go. I choose to follow you. Lord Jesus, I don't know how many times I'm going to fall, but I know the Holy Spirit will be there to comfort me time and time again. I'm forgiven, I'm cleansed, and I am on my way. Would you just give the Lord a praise right now and a clap? I am on my way. Praise the Lord.